Welcome back to Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the debut episode of my new show, Rising Up with Sonali. A judge has suspended the appointment of former Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva as chief of staff under current President Dilma Rousseff. Lula, as he has been called by an adoring Brazilian public in the past, faces serious charges of corruption. Rousseff's appointment of him as her chief of staff seemed to be a blatant attempt to shield her fellow Workers' Party member from prosecution through the political immunity that the position would have granted him. Rousseff now faces an impeachment procedure herself. My guest is Melissa Figueroa. She is a PhD candidate in geography at the University of California at Berkeley, a producer at KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. She was the head researcher on the 2005 film Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. She's been a longtime social justice activist and organizer in LA and the Bay Area, but she now lives in Brazil, where she's joining us from. Welcome to Rising Up, Mel.
Thanks, Sonali.
Now, Dilma Rousseff was for a long time Lula's chief of staff, and it seems as though she is returning the favor at just the right time, or at least she tried to return the favor before a judge stopped her, at just the politically opportune time for Lula as he was detained for corruption related to the Petrobras company. Just on the surface, setting aside what the right wing in Brazil might be up to, what Rousseff did to Lula, does that seem like anything other than a blatant attempt at shielding her fellow politician?
Well, in one sense, of course, it is an attempt to shield her fellow politician. This is happening. It's a little bit more complex than that. See, this is happening in the context of what many people are calling a coup in Brazil. It's a naked power grab on the part of the right wing and Brazilian elites. When Lula was detained for questioning a few days ago, it was, let's just say, it's not exactly as if, you know, like Elliot Ness and the, you know, on the side of justice trying to right a wrong. What it is, many people have characterized what happened to Lula as a kidnapping and do not consider it legitimate. So what we are seeing now, in the words of a friend, a Brazilian economist, is a kind of a coup of a different sort, one led by the media and the judiciary. The fact that the judiciary is on the is sort of working on the side of the right wing is important to think about this in the context of what's done.
Now, both Lula and Rousseff's former dealings with the Brazilian energy company Petrobras are under scrutiny, with allegations that they took millions of dollars in illegal payments from the company. How serious are these charges? And if they are true, that was a really stupid thing for the Workers' Party candidates and politicians to do, wasn't it?
Right. Okay. This is, again, all of this has to be understood in context. I don't know very much. I haven't been an expert in following it so closely that I know all the details of the current scandal. But what I can tell you is that, you know, corruption has been the name of the game of politics in Brazil pretty much since 1500. The way Brazilian politics, you know, works in many ways, and especially in the rural areas where the commodity economy is, you know, one of the main drivers of Brazil's economic growth, is a type of politics which is called coronelismo. Coronelismo is a type of kind of semi-feudal politics based on patronage networks and local elites. Especially on the local and state levels, you know, this is pretty much the way politics has functioned for, you know, most of the history of the country, and it tends to work regardless of party. So what the PT has done, I think, has made some very basic mistakes. First of all, I do not think that they overturned the old order once they took power. Instead, they tried to sort of fit themselves in with this existing system, to work within the existing system and ally themselves with some of the people who have engaged in this kind of politics for and its political culture for a long time, while also capturing and delivering real gains to the working class. Some people have characterized it as what's called neoliberalism to the outside, socialism on the inside. Other people have characterized it as a trying to sort of track between two types of developmentalism, neo-developmentalism, which is like sort of the neoliberal business type model, and social developmentalism on the other. So, you know, when we talk about the quote-unquote corruption scandal, it has to be understood in the context that this corruption, you know, is basically the political culture of the Brazilian political class, and it has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. And actually, the PT, more than any other government, has prosecuted officials for corruption. Under the previous administration, I think there was something like maybe 75 or 78 prosecutions for corruption, and there has been more than 250 under the PT. So, again, this is a it's a very old story. You know, a lot of people are saying because the operation, it's called, technically it's called Operation Car Wash. And a lot of people are saying that the people who are investigating Operation Car Wash are the people who are even more dirty. You know? Right. So
people, you know, are also outraged, just to focus for one more minute on the sort of details of the current scandal, people are also outraged over these intercepted phone calls made between Lula and Rousseff that reveal how he discussed ways to respond to the people investigating him. He said, why can't we intimidate them, among other things. And Rousseff lashed out, saying that those calls were released as the first step in a coup. Going back to what you were saying earlier with the right wing working closely with the judiciary, which released these calls, does that, and of course, you know, she was saying, look, this is just two people talking informally, and probably it was, not to excuse the language of, you know, of him saying, suggesting that intimidation be used. But all of this definitely seems like a bit of a setup.
Well, so this is what, again, another friend of mine on Facebook has characterized it as. It's as if, let's say, the opposition in Congress had wiretapped the Oval Office illegally, then got it retroactively approved by a Republican judge in Texas, and then had it the information released over Fox News. What is happening, again, is what's been called a coup of a different sort. It is a collusion between big media, especially Globo, the main TV network in Brazil, and again, a judiciary that is friendly to the right-wing opposition.
So Globo is Brazil's Fox News?
I'm sorry?
Is Globo Brazil's Fox News?
In a sense, it's somewhere between sort of Fox News and, you know, the reality TV shows. You know, there's a lot of sort of mindless entertainment on the one side, and on the other, news programs that are definitely skewed towards the right. So, you know, basically what's happening now is that, again, the PT, because of the PT's mistakes in, you know, being a left government, basically, they opened up political space for this right-wing elite to make a grab for power. One thing that happened was that, you know, their sort of triangulation between the elites and the, you know, poorest sections of the population worked as long as the economy was booming. In 2013, the economy took a downturn, and the PT, instead of, you know, sort of responding in a more redistributive way, became an austerity government, which turned large sections of especially the lower middle classes against them. This led to the protests that we saw in 2013. So in those protests in 2013, there were basically two sides. There was a left wing that was demanding more services, more redistribution, more help for the people, but also a right wing, which sort of took this anti-corruption narrative and ran with it. And as it gained steam, especially aided by Globo, the you know, of course, the friendly television network, this allowed the right wing to dominate the discourse, so much so that in the last congressional elections, they brought the most right wing Congress since the dictatorship ended, including a surge of power of, again, the right wing, it's called the ruralista bloc of agricultural elites.
So, Melissa, it sounds so familiar. I feel like I'm talking to you about Ecuador or Venezuela or any number of other Latin American countries who just in the past few years have seen these upheavals in the name of corruption with mass protests on the streets that on the surface appear to be, you know, people's grassroots mobilization, but they're well-dressed. They appear to be from the top. If you look closer, they're upper middle class or middle class folks. They're very well organized. They've got, these sort of slick protest paraphernalia that look mass-produced. They are very united and very vocal. Are we seeing a script unfold, a model unfold in Brazil, similar to what has unfolded in places like Ecuador and Venezuela?
There's definitely some parallels between what happened in Venezuela. Again, for a mainstream TV network, I've never seen street protests covered so thoroughly, which should, you know, sort of say something about, you know, which side the media happens to be on in this instance. Again, you know, if it was the left wing having these protests, we wouldn't be seeing 24-hour coverage like we are in Globo. Also, again, just like in Venezuela, the character of these protests are, that, as you said, very middle class, very white, which is very relevant in especially Brazil because of its racial politics. Actually, there's been one image that's gone viral, which shows a white couple with their dog going to a protest with their black maid trailing behind them in the stroller, like, you know, carrying their two daughters. So again, yes, in that sense and in the sense of the media's involvement in supporting one side over the other, it looks very much like Venezuela 2002, except for I think the difference in this instance is that we have they also have the judiciary on their side, which I think also makes it more dangerous.
So, Melissa, what does this crisis mean for not just the Workers' Party, the PT as it's known by its Portuguese acronym, but also for those communities that the Workers' Party has benefited since Lula came into office? You know, there have been a lot of communities that have seen an improvement in their lives, how are they viewing what's happening, and what's at stake for them?
Well, this is again especially the danger that lies in the implications of what's happening now. I'm talking to you from the Brazilian Amazon, where as soon as the impeachment proceedings began. Now, again, this is not scientific. This is just sort of my hunch from being here in the heart of is the sort of main corridor for Brazilian soy coming up from Mato Grosso and getting exported out to China and the rest of the world. I live in a place where I watch the rainforest burn every day. Every day it smells like fire here, even when it's raining, just like today. And, as soon as this political crisis began, it felt like, you know, there were even more fires burning, and that like sort of a push to kind of run over all of the regulations and the governmental protections that have been put in place for the rainforest. Since 2015, actually, deforestation in the Brazilian Amazon has gone up 41%. And this was after, for the last 30 years, actually, deforestation had declined in Brazil by 80%, largely because of the efforts of social movements and the way that they were able to institutionalize themselves in the States and with the help of the PT. So now that the PT itself is in crisis, the protections for a lot of these groups are beginning to erode very, very dramatically. I work with some communities who are right now in the processes of regularizing their rights to land under the Agrarian Reform Agency. Those processes have completely stalled. Also, in the state that I'm in, the state of Pará, land conflicts are extremely, extremely hot. And environmental activists and, again, land reform activists here, they're pretty much one and the same thing, are being murdered at a really horrific rate. These questions are very, very real, not just for the future of Brazil, but for the future of our planet, frankly. For this reason, I really think that people should be paying attention to what's going on here in Brazil.
And Melissa, finally, the BBC characterized what's happening in Brazil with a headline that read, "Brazil tumbles like a house of cards in crisis." Is that overstating it, or is it really that serious? I mean, if indeed there's a coup attempt, and in terms of what's at stake, especially for a country as large as Brazil, that is home to such a huge part of the Amazon, I think the point you made earlier really points out how serious and things are and what's at stake. But could the Brazilian government and the current regime under the PT really be so weak that we could see some major changes coming?
I think so. I think, unfortunately, I mean, in some ways, sort of Brazilian politics has always been kind of a house of cards. But like I said, in that sense, it's kind of interesting that, quote unquote, corruption is being pursued at this point. But exactly for the reasons that I stated, the larger implications of this, the implications of this for, communities all over the country, urban communities, rural communities, riverine communities, indigenous communities, quilombolas, the descendants of escaped slaves, for their sake, and again, for the sake of sort of the global issues of climate change and environmental protection, I think what's happening right now is very serious. What the right wing seeks right now is none other than the complete destruction of the Workers' Party and the barriers that have been erected that have, the real gains that the population has made, and the remaining barriers to the unfettered capitalist development, unfettered capital accumulation that social movements have been able to gain. What they want is a complete dismantling of that, so that they can have unfettered power over the country once again. And for that reason, I do think we should be taking it very seriously.
Well, Melissa, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck to you and your work in Brazil.
Thank you.
My guest is Melissa Figueroa, PhD candidate in geography at the University of California at Berkeley, and one of my colleagues at KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, where she is a producer. She was head researcher on the 2005 film Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. She's been a longtime social justice activist and organizer in the LA and Bay Area. She joined us from Brazil, where she currently lives. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.